Why Does Music Variety, Taylor Dane with Every Beat of My Heart. Great track from Taylor Dane. It is 10:30. And in the studio today, we welcome for the very first time from the Oxford Area School Observatory, we have Annabelle Harold. Hi, Annabelle. How are you?
Oh, morena, Steph, and morena, Tiff, and morena to all you listeners out there. I'm great.
It's lovely to have you in the studio. Hey, today we're talking about Saturn. So, Annabelle, how many moons does Saturn actually have?
Well, to take it to go back a bit, Saturn itself is truly a jewel of the night sky. It's the most amazing planet. You know, it has diamonds raining down from its thick gaseous atmosphere.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and these diamonds range in the size from minute to a few centimeters in diameter. And as extraordinary as that is, you know, the mechanisms involved in that process are definitely a story for another day. So today I want to talk about the moons and that orbit Saturn, because they're also extraordinary. So, Steph, how many do you think there are?
How many moons? 10?
Well, good guess. My teacher hat on.
Why,
there.
Thank you.
Well done. How about we expand that out to 83?
Gosh.
So, yeah, 83, that's verified moons, that verified by the International Astronomical Union. However, in May, this past May, so only a couple of months ago, astronomers from the Institute of Astronomy and Astrophysics in Taiwan announced they have discovered a further, 63.
Wow, another on top of the 83.
Yes, so these haven't yet been verified by the IAU, and that's a really painstaking process. So by the time they finish that, and if all goes well, then Saturn's total count of moons will be taken to 146.
Gosh, that's a lot. That's a lot. And that will be someone's job to sit there and count those, I'd imagine, and verify them.
Well, it is a long process indeed. Yeah.
So why has it taken so long, Annabelle, for these moons to be discovered?
Well, most of them are pretty tiny, these last ones that we're mopping up. You know, they can be as small as a kilometre, or, you know, and technological advances mean now that we are able to cut out a lot of that painstaking work of the past, and detecting them has become a little bit easier, but it is still very difficult.
I can imagine. Hey, so how come we only have one moon? Why do we only get one, Annabelle? And Saturn has 146. What makes them so special, and what would our night sky look like from Saturn with all those moons orbiting it?
Well, it certainly would be diamonds in the sky, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be nice.
However, we're actually really rare, because most planets have far more than one moon, so just to have one moon is pretty unusual. So if you were on Saturn, certainly you wouldn't be able to see any of your moons, because Saturn's a gas giant and you wouldn't be able to see through the thick atmosphere. So that's a wee bit sad for those Saturnians. If I can go on, apart from these tiny moons, Saturn has some much larger and very famous moons, and I'd really like to start with Titan. Discovered in 1655 by the Dutch astronomer Christian Huygens. This moon's actually larger than Mercury, and it's the second largest moon in the whole solar system.
Wow.
It has a thick atmosphere, consisting of nitrogen, largely of nitrogen, and it has a methane cycle, much like our water cycle. In fact, incredibly similar to our water cycle. So therefore, it actually has a weather system complete with wind and rain, and it has the surface features similar to ours. It has dunes, it has rivers, it has lakes, it has seas. But the catch is, and let's think back to Saturn, who was raining diamonds, Titan's rain is made up largely of methane and ethane, so not particularly conducive to human habitation.
No, I wouldn't imagine it would be very nice to even try and live on that.
No. So anyway, we've got time constraints, so I'm going to skip the other three that Cassini, we're going to skip three of the four moons that the next Italian astronomer Cassini in 1684, and of course the Cassini spacecraft is named after Cassini, and he discovered four, mainly Rhea, Dione and Tethys, and just look them up for yourself because they're amazing. But I really do want to mention Iapetus, who was Cassini's fourth discovery, because it has this incredible icy mountain range.
Ooh.
It's the second highest mountain range in the entire solar system. Right, so get your head around that, the entire solar system.
Gosh.
And it comes in at 20 kilometres high. And that's even more incredible when you think that Iapetus is actually only 1,500 kilometres in diameter.
Wow, that is huge, really, isn't it?
So this mountain range circumnavigates the equator of Iapetus, and it's thought, I love this thought, that it was formed as a result of a dramatic collapse of an orbiting ice ring.
Oh,
can you imagine the clattering of that? Onto the surface. Anyway, I just love that image.
Phenomenal.
So it is phenomenal. So let's skip forward now 104 years, and we're going to, until the next two moons were discovered. It took another 104 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the German astronomer, the famous William Herschel, and he discovered Mimas and Enceladus.
Mm. So what would be a personal favourite of yours? I'm talking to Annabelle from the Oxford Observatory. What would be a personal favourite of yours? Mimas or Encladius?
Enceladus.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Mimas is an easy one to pick because if you're a Star Wars fan, you will know it because it looks extremely like the Death Star.
Really? I love Star Wars.
So think of the Death Star. Mimas looks exactly like the Death Star, and curiously, Mr. Lucas did not know about Mimas when he at the inception of Star Wars, because that massive crater Mimas was not observed until 1980.
Wow.
So, but if you have a look at it, honestly, it bears an uncanny resemblance to the Death Star. So anyway, let's move on. Enceladus.
Yes.
Is definitely one of the most fascinating celestial bodies ever discovered to date. And it has profound implications for you and I, the whole human race. Because along with Jupiter's Europa, it's definitely the most likely candidate in our solar system to have life.
Wow. That's incredible. So are people looking at maybe going to it?
There have been probes going to it already. Yeah, definitely. We need to dedicate a whole program to this extraordinary moon, but go on your own curiosity quest and find out. In a nutshell, it's exquisite.
Yep.
It is truly exquisite to look at. It is covered entirely in fresh, clean ice water.
Sounds incredible. Fresh, clean ice water.
Fresh and clean. Its smooth surface is a result of cryogeology and cryovolcanoes and geysers shooting jets of water vapor high into the atmosphere, which then float back gently as snow.
Oh my goodness. Annabelle, we're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about, is it Hyperion?
Yeah.
Lovely. And we'll talk about that to Annabelle from the Oxford Observatory. Back in the studio with us is Annabelle from the Oxford Observatory. So we've been learning about some really cool planets that...
Moons,
that could duplicate what we're doing on our planet.
Well, just before we move on, I do want to say about Enceladus. We were talking about it being formed. It's a beautiful ice planet. Underneath that surface of ice is a liquidy salt water sea, completely enveloping that moon. So anyway, I can't do it justice here. Like I say, you guys go off and go on your own curiosity quest.
Awesome.
The next one I want to talk about is Hyperion. It's an impossibly shaped moon, and you really need to see this. It's probably the result of two smaller moons colliding, and it really does look like a potato.
Oh, wow. Mm. I have to check that one out.
Yeah, looks like a spud. Some people say it looks like a sponge, but it looks like a good old Southland spud to me. Phoebe, the next one. This moon, if you know anyone in your life who marches to the beat of a different drummer, well, Phoebe is this moon. It is what we call in a retrograde orbit, so it travels in the complete opposite direction to Saturn and all the other moons.
Nice.
And it just keeps doing
that. Does its own thing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And that brings me to the last one I want to talk about today, and it's possibly controversial, but mainly because it's, well,
Why is it controversial or suggested that it's controversial?
Well, it's because it doesn't actually exist. It's hypothetical. But there is strong evidence out there pointing to the fact that it is the source of the rings of Saturn. And that it's the remnants. So the rings of Saturn are the remnants of this moon Veritas, and made primarily of ice, a tiny bit of rock thrown in there. And it seems its orbit was very unstable because it was too close to Saturn. And so this resulted in a spectacular demise, and pretty instantaneous by the sound, they think, about 100 million years ago when dinosaurs were roaming our planet. So... And that also, we're very lucky to see the rings of Saturn. They're a fleeting moment in the bigger scheme of things. Mm. They might be around for another million years.
Wow.
But not long. Anyway, I want to conclude. Saturn, 83 verified moons. You know, that freaked Steph out a wee bit. And then when I told her there was yet another 63 to become official,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing.
And the diamonds.
Yeah, diamonds running down on Saturn. It's great, isn't it?
That is so cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's clearly observable at the moment in the morning sky, particularly Saturn. Mm-hmm. So get out there and have a look. In fact, you can see it from about 10 p.m. at night now until dawn. Jupiter's following close behind as they travel the ecliptic east to west. So, you know, you just need to get into some dark sky and take a look for yourself. You don't need a telescope.
Did you use binoculars?
Oh, yes, indeed. Binoculars are fabulous. If you've got high-powered binoculars, you're going to need a tripod to keep them steady.
Yeah. And they might get a bit heavy after a while, too.
Yes, so they do. So just I find binoculars my favourite X when I'm out there looking at things. Yeah.
Annabelle, it has been a pleasure. Annabelle Harold from the Oxford Area School Observatory. You do have workshops or information evenings that people can pop along to. What would be the best way to book in for these workshops, Annabelle?
Well, we call them our Sky Tours. So you can find us on Facebook, but if you like me and you don't do Facebook, then go to the website oxford.nawetu.school.nz, and I'm sure you can put this on your program
notes.
Nawetu, and then there's an email address there too. But you just Google Oxford Area School Observatory, and there will be many roads leading you to being able to book in.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I've learnt so much today, and I'm going to, when I finish my shift, hop on to Google and Google some more about these moons. It's so much.
Great.
Thank you so much. Compass FM.